Good morning. It is time to get up with a Thursday thriller. Raiders season on the line. Overtime. John Gruden's hat. It's all on the way. Plus, it is the biggest game of the season on Sunday. Are the Saints set to bring back Breeze? Could change everything. We've got the very latest. And the latest from the NBA feels like the beginning of the end of Harden in Houston. Woj dropped a bomb last night. Don't miss him live this morning right here as we get up with you starting right now, from the Seaport, Greeny here on a Football Friday. We are jam-packed, and I am by no means alone. Take a look at the team we've put together for you to talk football today. Ready to roll. Ryan Clark is here. Bart Scott is here. Diana Russini, Rob Ninkovich. We are ready to go, and we had ourselves a spectacular game to kick off the weekend last night. Game of the night, the Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Chargers. I underlined the words Las Vegas because they did not appear on John Gruden's hat in the first half of this game, sporting the Oakland Raiders hat. That's a bad look, but this is worse. Derek Carr down 7-0 late in the first quarter. Watch this. Uh-oh. That's trouble. It's ruled a groin injury. He would miss the remainder of the night, and it is obviously worth keeping a close eye on the rest of the week. Second quarter now, Marcus Mariota on for the Raiders, down 7-3. You know where he was looking? He was looking for his big tight end, Darren Waller, 35 yards and a touchdown. He had 9 catches, 150 yards, Raiders up 10-7. Looking for an answer. 25 seconds left before halftime. Tied at 10. Justin Herbert untying it. Tyron Johnson, 26 yards for the score. The rookie, spectacular. 314 yards, 3 total touchdowns. Chargers up 17-10 at the half. 24-17 in the fourth. Third and goal. Mariota. Watch him. Oh, he flies through the air with the greatest of ease. It's a touchdown. Derek Carr loves what he sees. We're tied at 24. Just over 2 minutes left. Same score. Raiders looking to win it. Hold everything. The Raiders may just have lost it. Chris Harris Jr. with the pick. He's going to bring it back 50 yards into Raider territory. Mariota making the potential game-saving tackle. Huge play late by the Charger defense. Now they're in field goal range. Now it's third and two. What you going to do with about a buck and a half left? Don't do this. Justin Herbert taking the sack. Kendall Vickers gets him. It's a loss of 8. Makes the field goal try longer for the Money Badger. 51 yards for Michael Badgley. He missed one earlier. Snap, place, kick, up, and it is no good. Puts it to the left. His second miss of the night, and we're going to overtime. Raiders get it first. You know what? Touchdown ends the game. Third and goal. Mariota rolling, knocked down. What are you going to do, John Gruden? Go for the win or kick the field goal? They kick it. 27-24, Raiders. Just over 3 minutes left in the OT. First and 10. Herbert. Jalen Guyton. Guyton is behind the defense. He's inside the 5. Chargers with a chance to win later in the drive. Second and goal. Herbert going to take it himself. Hold on, he fumbled. The ball is recovered in the end zone by the Chargers. By rule, they're not allowed to advance it, but they retain possession. So third down. If at first you don't succeed, try again. There's your ball game. Justin Herbert, the game winner. The Chargers dealing what could be the death blow to the Raiders' playoff chances. 30-27 in OT, your final score. And if you are a Raiders fan, you probably want to avert your eyes. This does not tell a good story for the silver and black. Through week 10, Vegas was 6-3. They had a 73% chance to make the playoffs, according to our analytics. That has now dropped below 5% after yesterday's defeat. And so let us bring the crew in and start talking about this. And Ryan Clark, I will start with you. On a night that began with John Gruden wearing the wrong hat and ends with his team on the yeah. wrong side of the playoff picture, how much of this is on John Gruden?
Isn't that hat symbolic? If you were John Gruden, wouldn't you also want to go back to the glory days of the Oakland Raiders? Wouldn't you also want to be in that stadium with the baseball field in the middle and faces painted with shoulder pads on of people who could play football because they're that swole in the stands? Don't you want to go back to them days? Not the days of the empty, brand new, beautiful stadium in Las Vegas when you can't stop a nosebleed. As my partner Bart Scott once said, this team is terrible. And that's all on John Gruden. When somebody gives you $100 million for 10 years, they're giving you the keys to the car, the keys to the house, the keys to the other facility, and the beach houses that you own. John Gruden makes all the decisions in Oakland. The people that they pick, I believe he has a say in that. So Mike Mayock, it's not all on you. The plays that are called ball defensively, Rob Marinelli, it's not all on you now. This is John Gruden's team. This is John Gruden's organization, and he is failing. He's made $30 million, and they haven't even won 40% of their games in the 3 years that he's there. And so if you, John Gruden, one, you got to figure out where your team plays, what's the right hat, more importantly, how to win a freaking game.
That's right. And Bart, let me come to you then on that thought, because it is 3 years in to the much ballyhooed Gruden tenure. It is starting to feel like it's getting late early out here. Do you feel like this team is far away, or is this the kind of situation where he may be a piece or two away from turning this into what we all expected him to do when he got there?
Well, listen, yesterday defense was optional. We realized that it wasn't Paul Gunther, because you saw Marinelli couldn't bring back some of his magical days as a defensive coordinator. You have to go to Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock got to make better picks. Arden Key hasn't really turned out. You know, the defense is historically bad. It didn't even look like they had a key understanding the fundamentals of defense. You got safety sitting too deep in cover two, you know, looking up big zones, guys running wide open, you know, a tight end destroying you for 150 yards. Yes, he's done that to some of the worst defense in the league, but this is a team with playoff aspirations. But with all that being said, I think, you know, John Gruden is 3 years into his tenure. And I think he's changed his team. He's given it an attitude. He's given it a personality. When he came in, he had to get rid of Cooper, get rid of Mack. He's failed to replace him. But I think they're going in the right direction. You know, we have to make a decision on Carr long term. But right now, he's at a discounted price compared to most starting quarterbacks. I think they'll be better. They just have to get some more pieces on defense.
And Rob Ninkovich, let me come to you, because you brought up an interesting thought earlier today in our meeting, which is the Oakland-Las Vegas thing. That could actually be more significant than just the hat that John Gruden was mistakenly wearing.
Yeah, I mean, the first thought I had when they announced they were going to Vegas was, man, that's a tough place to bring young kids, 22, 23, 24. I mean, every player in the NFL is a young guy. So you go to Vegas, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought this, it was, geez, that's going to be a really hard place to control your team when Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can go out and you can find anything you want and you can have a great time. And when you got a little coin in your pocket, sometimes that could be trouble. So it's going to be hard for anybody to go in to Vegas and win consistently and get into the playoffs and all those things that we talk about, especially in Vegas, because of all the distractions. So I think it's just going to be hard for anyone to win there.
Well, look,
if Vegas is closed. Vegas closed, y'all. You can't go to Vegas right now.
Oh, you can. RC, you know you can find something in Vegas now. Come on.
Well, I know the nightlife. I know the nightlife in Providence is popping right now. But I'll tell you what, you can win in New York. You can win in Miami. You can't blame the city. The players have to hold themselves accountable. And I just think they don't have enough good players. You saw a lot of their defensive players were hurt yesterday. But listen, New York is a city where you can find something to do all night. Miami's a city where you can find something to do all night. I'm sure Los Angeles is a place where you can find something to do all night. They just have to get better players, and they got to get better coaches and coordinators.
Or maybe there's a reason why Green Bay is always so good. One way or another, that's our top today. Obviously, we begin with the game last night. Then
Aaron
we get
Rodgers
to what shapes up to be the biggest story of the weekend. Drew Brees back at practice this week. It remains unclear right now who the Saints will start at quarterback Sunday in their monster matchup with the Chiefs. Brees coming back from 11 broken ribs and a punctured lung. Here's head coach Sean Payton.
It's pretty simple. It's just functionality, strength, throwing, you know, without soreness, there's a process. And, you know, last week with the trainers, he had one throwing day. Then yesterday, you know, the same way. And it's really asymptomatic, feeling good, strong, and like you can function and you know, be an asset and play well.
All right, Diana Russini gets up early with us, our NFL insider extraordinaire, who has this game this weekend. You have Saints-Chiefs this weekend, and you cover the Saints very closely generally. So what is the latest on Brees, and when do you believe we will know who the starter will be?
I think we're going to know later today who the starter will be. So much credit to the Saints organization, Greeny. It's Friday We have no idea who's going to start on Sunday. This is how well-kept, or at least how disciplined, this team is. Nothing has been leaked out just yet. So there's a little bit of reading the tea leaves. I did make some calls on this. And here's the sense, Greeny. I'm getting a lot of optimism here. So we talked last Friday, and I was like, Greeny, no way. They're going to be conservative. We're not going to see Drew Brees until the playoffs. Well, it sounds like Drew has looked good in practice. He's getting healthy. They have gone day by day with him just to check with the trainers to make sure he's close to 100%. But it would not shock me if Drew Brees played against the Kansas City Chiefs.
That video we were just showing you was Brees working this week. And as you point out, Diana, he did look really good. So again, you're covering this game. How are the Chiefs preparing for this defensively, not knowing who it is they're going to face?
Yeah, this is so interesting, and this is where Sean Payton is once again brilliant. Why tell anybody who's going to start and give that advantage away? Because now the Chiefs, they've got to prepare for three quarterbacks because you have no idea who New Orleans is going to go with. Is it going to be Taysom Hill? Is it going to be Jameis Winston? Is it going to be Drew Brees? But here's what I found out talking to Tyrann Mathieu yesterday. He said they're doing tons of work on Taysom Hill. He says he's so mobile and he's such a unique type quarterback that they've got to do more work on him. They know what Drew Brees can do. And he even said, he's like, look, all due respect, he is a Hall of Fame quarterback, that being Drew Brees. He said, but prepping for Taysom Hill takes more work. We have to do more practice preparing for him. And it really seems and feels like this Chiefs defense are spending most of their time getting ready for Taysom Hill on Sunday.
Again, they do have the three options. People sometimes forget that Jameis Winston is there, and those are three really different players, Brees, Hill, and Jameis. Let me bring the guys back in here, and let me, RC, let me start with you. Again, not being privy to all of the information that Sean Payton has, mainly exactly what the doctors are saying and exactly how Brees is looking, but knowing what you know, if it was your decision, who would be the starting quarterback on Sunday?
Well, first of all, it's all about Drew Brees' health, right? You want Drew Brees to be at 100%. And if Drew Brees is at 100%, if he can function, if he can protect himself, if he can play the game that we're used to seeing Drew Brees play in 2020, Drew Brees is the starter. And I don't think you really think about it. I think it's a no-brainer. One, he's a future Hall of Famer that if he wants to play and the doctors give him the okay, you allow him to play. And let's remember, the only reason Drew Brees comes out of the game against the San Francisco 49ers after leading a drive for a touchdown after suffering the injury is because he told Sean Payton he couldn't go anymore. So obviously they want him out there if he can be. This team needs the number one seed, and not because things have to go through New Orleans and it's hard to win there, but because you don't want this Drew Brees to have to play in Green Bay in those weather conditions against Aaron Rodgers. You want to be able to play in the conditions you control, which is the Superdome.
Yeah, again, I will remind everyone of exactly what it looks like when you play a conference championship game in Lambeau Field. What Lambeau, the perfect illustration of that is the face of Tom Coughlin. Can we put that up, Kalen? Again, we had it yesterday. That is what it looks like. That is the perfect illustration of playing a game at Lambeau Field in January. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. That one is worth 1,000,000 words. And Rob Ninkovich, you were making that point, right? That if Drew Brees is going to get himself back to a Super Bowl again, he's probably going to have a hard time doing it if he's not doing it in his own building.
Yeah, the last time I checked, the thermostat in the Superdome set at 70 degrees, which is pretty nice with zero wind. So the Saints, they need that number one seed so they can have that home field advantage. You don't want Drew Brees going up to Lambeau trying to throw a spiral through a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind with negative temperatures. You don't want that. So in this matchup, Saints versus KC, they're going to have Drew Brees out there. I think if he does come back, you could do some type of platooning where Taysom is the guy and then Drew comes in on gotta-have-it plays where you're throwing the ball down the field, because when you're preparing those two guys, it's two different call sheets defensively. So it's going to be a tall task for Kansas City if they do not know who the starting quarterback's going to be.
Bart, you see it differently. Tell me why.
Yeah, just like my mom when I used to play with my BB guns, you guys better stop so somebody puts an eye out. Listen, it's all fun and games when somebody asks for barbecue sauce and ribs for Drew Brees.
All right,
and it's all fun and games, and I know he feels healthy and he feels well, but if somebody hurts him, all your chances of winning the Super Bowl is out the window. this isn't the same typical New Orleans Saints football team. This is a tough football team led by their defense. And I think that they can go on, and that travels every single place you go. Who's to say that they're going to end up in Lambeau? If they're the top two seeds, they'll listen, Green Bay is a team that can easily be picked off with the lack of defense that they have there. I believe that, you know, you should go with Jameis Winston and see what he has. At the end of the day, you still have Minnesota. You have the Panthers. Those are homecoming games. You're going to be 12-4. You can beat anybody. Don't put Drew Brees at risk. Protect him from himself.
It is possible that we will get that news at some point before we go off the air today. We will certainly keep an ear to the ground. Guys, stay with me here because next up is championship weekend in college football. What a weekend this is going to be tomorrow. Big Ten, it's Northwestern and Ohio State. Strength against strength. The Wildcats are number two in scoring defense. The Buckeyes are fourth in offense. So that's good against good. In the Big 12, it's Oklahoma against Iowa State. The Sooners lost this matchup earlier this season. Since then, they're 6-0. Oklahoma has won each of the last four Big 12 titles. In the SEC, it's Alabama, Florida. 10th time these two meet in this game, the most frequent conference championship matchup ever. Bama has won three straight meetings against the Gators. And then, of course, the ACC. This one probably has the most riding on it. Clemson and Notre Dame, just the fourth time that top five teams meet twice in the same season. In the previous three, the loser of the first game won the rematch. That would be good news for Clemson, which was the loser of the first game. Desmond Howard and Paul Feinbaum join us here. Thanks for getting up with us early, guys. And, Des, let's talk about the difference this time around for Clemson. Obviously, no Trevor Lawrence the first time around. How does that change what we expect to see tomorrow?
Well, Green, going against Clemson without Trevor Lawrence in that first game is like being in a talent show competition and going against the Jackson 5 without Michael Jackson and you get Jermaine singing lead. There's just so much that they can do as a group without Michael. But now you insert Michael, that's a whole different Jackson 5. And when you insert Trevor Lawrence, that's a whole different offense. I will tell you this, they will run the ball with the quarterback more than they did in the first game. Don't forget, Trevor Lawrence is projected to be the number one draft pick in the 2021 NFL draft. You go from the number one draft pick to a five-star freshman running your offense. That limits your playbook. Now the playbook is wide open. I expect that Trevor Lawrence is going to use his legs just like he did a year ago against Ohio State. And I believe they'll go downfield, go vertical more, and roll him out on the edges. There's just so much more you can do with your offense when you have the projected number one draft pick running the offense. So that's the difference I see in Clemson's offense against Notre Dame tomorrow.
Absolutely. And so I think most people, including our FPI, believes that Clemson will win the game. And as you see on your screen, they're a 10.5-point favorite. But, Paul, I'm coming back to you on this one more time. We've thought about it all week long. Let's live in a world where Notre Dame wins this game because that's what throws open all the other scenarios. If Notre Dame beats Clemson in this game, who does that put in?
All right, first of all, I appreciate Desmond going back to my era of music with the Jackson 5. I really think Texas A&M is sitting there in great shape. I don't know how you possibly can put Clemson in after losing to the same team twice. I mean, nobody can stand that other than Dabo Sweeney. The Iowa State conundrum, I don't buy Greeny because they did lose at home early in the season to Louisiana by only 17 points. Come on, that's not even on the table. And then, you know, Cincinnati deserves a shot. I certainly think they should be under consideration, but it looks like Texas A&M at 5 is sitting there in the best shape.
And very quickly, Desmond, because the crew that you work with on College Game Day, Herbie and many others, have been outspoken this year, more than any that I can remember, about what we would typically call in college basketball the mid-major. People are looking at Cincinnati and the plight of them. I just wanted to get your perspective on that, on the idea that teams are getting the benefit of the doubt based on reputation and all the rest of that. A lot of people seem to be really more upset about that than I've ever heard them before. Are you?
You know, Greeny, I've been upset about that from day one because when you came with this whole model of a college football playoff system and you only have four slots, but then you have the Power Five, that automatically leaves out one group in the Power Five plus the group of five. That's why Cincinnati or Coastal Carolina, they would never get a fair shot, a fair deal, or an opportunity unless something completely catastrophic happens with the Power Five team. So I've always been a strong proponent against this system because I thought the selection process is just as flawed as the BCS selection process was, if not more. And now it's starting to finally come to the surface and people are starting to see it for what it actually is.
Super quick, Paul, do you think that there is enough momentum, enough people who feel that way that we could see change?
No, because the people that matter aren't listening. These are the same people that screwed up the college football season, Greeny, that were all together until they weren't when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 went their separate ways. There's no universal voice in college football, and there's not enough time today to talk about a czar, but until somebody takes over and has one voice in collaboration with the conference commissioners, we are not going anywhere until the end of this contract.
All right, it is going to be a great weekend for the college game, and we are looking forward to watching both of you guys. Thank you both for getting up with us here. Tim Tebow will join us a little later. Meanwhile, as we continue, as the Dolphins get set to face the Patriots, find out why history says this is going to be a long day for Tua Tagovailoa. Plus, a new twist in the James Harden trade talk that the beard may not like. Woj is here with the latest bomb on the way as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. All right, here's a fun moment last night. Hey, Ryan Clark, get a load of this. This is Luca, and he's looking for someone to dap him up, and watch how this goes. All right, no. What do you think?
That's like that Tom Brady high five, bro. The thing I want to know is, does that young person know who Luka Doncic is? He's the guy that's favored to win the MVP. You can't leave him hanging. Listen, if she works for Dallas, somebody's going to have to talk to her and let her know, man, we need this guy in the best spirits, feeling the way he needs to feel. But Tom Brady did that as well, so maybe that's the MVP move to get left hanging.
Coming up, the status of Drew Brees isn't the only big quarterback story of the day. Two other decisions that could have a major impact on the way. And Tua trying to do something against Bill that hasn't been done in 7 years. You'll find out what it is and if he can. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back back on Get Up at the bottom of the hour. And if you missed Raiders Chargers last night, let's just catch you up. This game went to overtime. Really good game. In the OT, Marcus Mariota, who was on for the injured Derek Carr, on a third and goal with a chance to win it. The touchdown on the first possession would have ended the game. But as you see, it's broken up. John Gruden can't believe it. They kick a field goal, so they're up 27-24. Justin Herbert, who threw for 314 yards in this game, going deep for Jalen Guyton at the other end. And with under 3 minutes left in the OT, the Chargers have a chance to win it. On second down, Herbert for the touchdown. Wait a minute, the ball comes out. If the Raiders recover, they win. Instead, the Chargers recover, but they can't advance it on the fumble, so they just get a third down try, and this time Herbert does get it in. He would account for three touchdowns on the night, and the Chargers dealing a devastating blow to the Raiders' playoff chances, win it 30-27 in overtime. And after that performance, Justin Herbert placing himself in elite company. He has 27 passing touchdowns on the season. That is tied with Baker Mayfield for the most by a rookie in NFL history. He has passed Peyton Manning, he has passed Russell Wilson, and he seems like a sure bet to take that lead himself. Meanwhile, Diana Rossini, let's run the hurry up with some other quarterback news. What is up with Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, all eyes on him. He is dealing with rib injuries that he suffered against the Green Bay Packers. He hasn't practiced at all this week. And earlier in the week, when I talked to sources there, they felt really optimistic. They continue to feel optimistic because they're confident that Matthew Stafford doesn't need to practice this week in order to play. But we know with rib injuries, it really is a day-to-day situation. So as of right now, he is questionable, but there is a feeling there that he will most likely be able to go. If he can't, it'll be Chase Daniel. Meantime, Carolina cannot catch a break with Christian McCaffrey. Again, he is dealing with multiple different injuries. He's been listed as doubtful for Saturday's game against the Green Bay Packers. No word as to whether or not the Panthers organization is going to shut down McCaffrey, because it just looks like it's not going to get any better. But meantime, you got the Washington football team looking to win five in a row when they welcome the Seattle Seahawks to town. And they were very optimistic this last week about Alex Smith being able to play. He's dealing with a calf injury that popped up before the game last week. All week long, he has not practiced. But I was told today that they are not feeling as optimistic as earlier in the week. Of course, if Alex cannot go, we're going to see Dwayne Haskins in there starting against Seattle.
All right, yeah, and that's obviously a critical game for Washington with the lead over the Giants in the NFC East. And Diana, let me ask you about the Giants. We saw Daniel Jones come back last week. He was so limited. What is the latest on who starts for the Giants Sunday night against Cleveland?
Greeny, today is a gigantic day for Daniel Jones in terms of his health and whether or not this coaching staff feels that he is strong enough and ready to go. There was video on Wednesday of him stretching, working out with the team, that small window that the media is allowed to be at, and he just looked okay. And of course, this was Wednesday. Thursday practice was canceled, which is why today is so important to see how he's recovered from that Wednesday practice, but also where he's at. Because remember, he's dealing with two injuries. We got a hamstring, which always sort of lingers, that never 100% heals. And he's also dealing with a sprained ankle that he suffered during the game. So today we should know more about Daniel Jones. And of course, if he can't go, it's Colt McCoy.
So let me quickly ask RC and Bart about this one here. RC, let's talk about it. What is your sense, having seen what we saw last week and what was a disappointing loss for the Giants, who do you think should start?
Listen, a hobbled Daniel Jones is a horse that should stay in the pasture, a horse that you shouldn't let get out and run. Listen, when he can go, he's a thoroughbred. He's one of the more athletic quarterbacks in this league. But if he can't, let's go with Colt McCoy. And I know people are going to say, okay, it's Colt McCoy. He's much more miniature pony than he is Colt. But when you don't have a Daniel Jones that can move, if you don't have a Daniel Jones that can create in the pocket, now you open him up to his turnover issues. Now guys can get to him, put hats on him, and allow him and give themselves a chance to get the ball out on Daniel Jones. He makes you a worse team when he can't move, when he can't maneuver, when he can't add to the run game. And so I say go with Colt McCoy, allow Wayne Goldman in that run game to lead you and play defense on the other side of the football. Because Daniel Jones, when he's a dual threat quarterback, is a solid football player, a football player that can win you games. A one-leg Daniel Jones can't do anything but lose football games for you. And we saw him do that last week against the Cardinals.
So, Bart, let me ask you, you cover this team closely every day on your radio show on ESPN Radio New York, going national in a couple of weeks. Do you, after that disappointing loss last week, do you still believe the Giants can win this division?
It's going to be tough because they have to go through two teams in which it's going to be tough sledding against. You think about the Cleveland Browns, they have playoff aspirations. Also, mm-hmm. you think about they have the Baltimore Ravens after that. The only homecoming game they have left is the Dallas Cowboys. To RC's point, you know, if you can't really go in, I thought they went all in with Daniel Jones because they thought the game that they could win was the Cardinals and the Cowboys. And the first to seven in this division is probably going to lock this division up. This is time to have the talk. And I know it's an uncomfortable situation in which we have with players, but it's time to say, listen, we're all in. We only need you to get us one or maybe two. We might have to shoot that thing up. You're going to be sore. It's going to hurt you later on. We don't know if you're going to tear something. But if we can get to the postseason and win a divisional title, it may be time to have that toradol talk. It may be that pain shot talk. And that's just the reality of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a part of football for a very long time. We'll wait and see. Obviously, Diana will keep us posted. Meanwhile, let's talk about another game this weekend. It is a well-known fact that Bill Belichick feasts on rookie quarterbacks, and he gets another shot at one Sunday against Tua and the Dolphins. Here's what he has done. In 2018, Belichick's defense held Josh Allen to 217 yards, picked him off twice, and it went over the Bills. The very next week, New England hammered the Jets and their rookie at the time, Sam Darnold, 38-3. They sacked him four times, forced a fumble in the process. Last year, they played Daniel Jones and the Giants. They won that game by three touchdowns, held Jones to less than 50% completion, worst of his career. And then just 2 weeks ago, you might remember, they destroyed the Chargers, 45-0. Justin Herbert, it's the only bad game he's had. They sacked him three times, and they picked him off twice. So there's just something about Belichick against rookie quarterbacks. He has reeled off 12 straight wins against rookie QBs going back to 2014, and generally those games have not been close. They've outscored those teams by a combined 250 points during this streak. So this week they get Tua, and it's a very big game for Miami. So let me bring in someone who was on those defenses at the beginning of this run, Rob Ninkovich. Rob, very simply, why is Bill so good against rookies?
Well, it's pretty simple. You show nothing pre-snap, and you make them figure it out post-snap. So before the snap, you really don't show your hand. You have your poker face. After the snap, the rookie's got to figure it out. They got to figure out what the coverage is. They got to figure out where the blitz is coming from. And in your first two series of the game, you load the box. You let the quarterback figure out what's coming. Is it a blitz? Is it coverage? We don't know. You're going to have to figure it out. And with that, then you know, okay, can this quarterback come to the line of scrimmage and can he figure out what we are doing to him? If he cannot, if he comes to the line of scrimmage and you're showing an all-out blitz look and he runs the play because that's the only thing he knows how to do is take the call from the sideline, bring it to the line of scrimmage and run the play, then you know, okay, well, we can pretty much do what we want with this guy and he's not going to be able to figure it out. So Bill Belichick is the master at game planning. Each and every week, it's going to be a different game plan. And when you play a rookie, you want to make them figure it out. And RC knows this because he's in the secondary. You do not show your hand, and you make them figure out the coverages. They have a veteran secondary, and they'll be able to do that.
That video you just saw, by the way, was Rob Ninkovich sacking a then-rookie Jared Goff. It's very modest of you not to point that out, but I decided to do it. Bart, you look skeptical. What is with the skeptical look on your face, Bart Scott?
Because when you have numbers, you can push whatever narrative you want. The reality is most times when a team has a rookie quarterback starting, it's because they're the best player on the team. You think about they're usually on the team that pick low in the draft and they have a horrible team. I remember going against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you know, with a Mark Sanchez. Didn't matter, right? You want to know why? Because he was on a good football team. Tua Tagovailoa is on a good football team. So I don't think he's going to have any problem looking at the team and looking at the tape in which the Patriots represented themselves against the Rams the previous week. You think about this secondary win blow for blow with the best, arguably the number one offense in the game. This is going to be like a week off. This is going to be like going against the scout team. Cam Newton has a 78 QBR, 10 interceptions. I'm not worried about anything that the Patriots offense has to present to the Miami Dolphins defense. Flores understands all the Jedi mind tricks that Bill has. We all understand he's a Sith Lord, but he's out of moves. He has no more moves on the chessboard, and it's time for Miami to claim their stake and say, you know what, this is our division now. We have a much better quarterback than you have.
That would really be something. RC, who do you think wins this game?
I think it's the Miami Dolphins, but I'm mad at Bart because I held that back during the morning meeting, and he didn't say it either. So I figured I was about to come on here and wow y'all with the fact that rookies play for sorry teams. But no, Bart busted out before me. Good job, bro. I'm with
Great
you.
Great minds think alike.
But you look on the other side of it. Hey, you know what I'm saying? You look on the other side of it, though, and you see Tua Tagovailoa and that team. You watch what Tua Tagovailoa had to do in the second half of last week's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. I felt like he grew up. The other part of it is when you see this man under pressure, when Tua Tagovailoa has played for Nick Saban, when he's been in some of the pressure situations that he's been in throughout his career, he's not your normal rookie. He also grew up in this 7-on-7 arena of football in high school, so he's seen different things. He's thrown a lot of footballs. And he's also playing for the better team, as Bart said. And what is the New England Patriots offense going to do against a Miami Dolphins defense that plays like we normally see the New England Patriots? And so this isn't the same New England Patriots team. Nico's not walking through that door. Teddy B is not walking through that door. Ronnie Harrison is not walking through that door. And so when you look at what this team is facing, I think the Miami Dolphins have opportunity to win this game and win this game going away late.
Well, that would really be something, and it's obviously one they desperately need as they're fighting with Baltimore for that final wild card spot. I'll just throw into the conversation, Justin Herbert's not on a great team, but he has had a brilliant season, and Belichick just annihilated him a few weeks ago. Let's keep a close eye on this one. Meanwhile, tomorrow's big games come from college. It's conference championship weekend, and it's highlighted by this lineup Saturday on ABC. The Big 12 game is Oklahoma-Iowa State. That's noon Eastern. Then Clemson-Notre Dame for the ACC championship. Then Tulsa-Cincinnati in the AAC. And then Sunday, of course, all will be revealed. It's the College Football Playoff Selection Show, noon Eastern, on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Are the Packers the best in the NFC? Don't miss RC's Power Rankings. He will tell you what he thinks. And then, will it be bye-bye Beard in Houston? Woj is here with big news on the trade talk involving James Harden. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. Five games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis. And KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny, all of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A Hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
That should be fun. The question is, what team will James Harden be on then? He and the Rockets beat the Spurs in a preseason game last night, for what that's worth. He had 20 points, 9 assists, played 27 minutes. But, of course, all the headlines around Harden continue to center around his desire to be traded out of Houston. And if you missed it last night, our Adrian Wojnarowski, along with Ramona Shelburne, had a very big story on ESPN.com about the very latest. Woj, good morning. Let's make sure everyone is up to date.
Morning, Greeny. Well, Greeny, as Ramona Shelburne and I reported, you know, the Rockets are really expanding their conversations beyond those two preferred destinations of Harden, Brooklyn and Philadelphia. You know, they're starting to gather more interest, we're told, in both the Eastern and Western conferences, you know, of teams, you know, because Harden has 2 years left on his deal, you know, who'd be willing perhaps to even trade for him without an assurance he would stay long term. I think, but there's more and more engagement of teams in both conferences with Houston. And while Brooklyn and Philly are still, you know, potentially viable, and I think the door is opened to the possibility that James Harden could land somewhere either than where he specifically wants to play.
Yeah, so let's look at this in terms of a timeline. Next Wednesday is when the Rockets play their first regular season game. How would you assess at this point the likelihood that he's traded before that?
Well, one thing's for certain, Greeny, Houston would like to get this done sooner than later. They would like to listen, this is a pall over the entire organization, their new head coach, Steven Silas, as he tries to implement his program there. But they've got to find the right deal. This is too important for their organization long term. You know, and they have a checklist of what they would like in a deal. And they, listen, you don't always get everything you want in one of these trades, but they've got to really maximize value. And that's going to be a really good young player in draft picks at the very least as they comb the league. And you know, one thing too, Greeny, they're looking at scenarios, three-team scenarios, where perhaps a particular team doesn't exactly have the player they want, but they can help go get that player in a longer, in a bigger deal.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets may need someone like that to help them out. I found reading your story again. Woj and Roman, I'll have that story up right now on ESPN.com. Woj, thank you very much. Outstanding. We will check in with you again if there's any further news. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. We're also on ESPN.com right now. You can find the NFL power rankings, and this is how the top five looks, and there's no big surprises here. The Chiefs are number one. They're followed by Rodgers and the Packers. Then look at Buffalo up there at number three, the Steelers four, and the New Orleans Saints five. Those are the ESPN.com power rankings. But on this program, there is only one set of rankings that matter to us. Those are done every week by our Ryan Clark. RC, the floor is yours.
Once again, Greeny, I want to give the disclaimer. I do not care what anybody thinks after these power rankings because they are my power rankings and nobody else gets to do them on the show because obviously they matter. At number five, I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams. And I know I flip and flop on this team, but listen, they have two transcendent talents on defense in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, the two best talents playing the position. Aaron Donald, the best football player in the world. But it's the people that are around him, Greeny, the Brockers, the Floyds, the Williams, the Hills, the Johnson. This defense is amazing. And guess what? Sean McVay's a genius again. Who knew? He knows you have to run the ball. Cam Akers has stepped up. Jared Goff is now playing better. This is the team you do not want to play in the playoffs. They have experience, a quarterback that can make plays when he needs to, and a defense that is getting after your keister. That's a team that you like. That's the team that I love. And at number four, I'm going with the Rodney Dangerfields of football, the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, you got a quarterback, Buffalo. I get it. You guys are happy. You finally have a dude. You've been waiting since Jim Kelly. And Josh Allen is him. You might as well call him Himothy because he is flat out balling. This dude is in the top of the AFC quarterbacks. I think it's Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and then Josh Allen. You know why? Because of Stephon Diggs, the dude that's on the cover of ESPN right now. He's flat out going crazy. He took over the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers early in the second half. And when he took it over, he was talking to them about taking it over. And there was nothing that you could do with them. You got a defense that's getting more opportunistic. A pick six last week. Another pick by Levi Wallace. And one of the best corners in the game, Trey White. This team is going to be tough to beat in the playoffs. At number three, I'm going with that bad man Stephen A. always talks about, and that's Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP. They got an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. If they do that, Aaron Rodgers is in the top three of quarterbacks that's ever played to me. And I don't care what nobody says. When you look at what this dude is doing at this age, at this time, shouldn't we be talking about Aaron Rodgers kind of the way we talk about LeBron James, that he's one of the best we've ever seen, and along with being one of the best, he's now playing the best at a late age? Aaron Rodgers is on point. Aaron Jones is balling. Devontae Adams has stepped up and shown you that he's one of the best wide receivers to ever play this game, not only playing right now. If they could just get enough defense, Greeny, just enough defense, they can win it. So the Cheeseheads need to play at home. It needs to be dang cold. Give Aaron Rodgers the ball. Try to stop somebody. And at number two is the New Orleans Saints. And I know there are going to be people all across the world, but they lost to Jalen Hurts. The Philadelphia Eagles beat them. I don't care. This freaking defense is phenomenal. They had to play a team. They didn't really know what they were going to get. And you had a quarterback on your team who was worse than the quarterback playing for the first time on the other team. when Drew Brees gets healthy, when this team is playing defense at the clip that we've seen it, and when Alvin Kamara gets back into it, I'm not sure why Sean Payton has gone away from that. This is one of the best teams in football. I feel like when this team stands across from the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, they'll know that defensively, we can play with Patrick Mahomes. We can play with Tyreek Hill. And I don't think many teams can say that, especially when they have a quarterback like Drew Brees who will not be scared of the moment against this team that's number one, the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know, last week, guys, I messed it up. I said I was going to come on here and I was going to do smart things and I was going to move the Kansas City Chiefs down, even though I believe in Patrick Mahomes more than I believe in anybody in the world other than Justin Tucker. And I was wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. But people couldn't tell me I was wrong because it was my god darn rankings. But listen, you saw Patrick Mahomes last week. You know what we talked about all Monday? The awful game Patrick Mahomes had that moved Aaron Rodgers into the MVP lead. He threw for 393 yards, people. He had two tubs, people. They won the game. But that's how good he is, right? When he throws for 393 because somebody tips a pass and Byron Jones actually finally gets an interception, now we want to think he's not as great. She lies, you tell. Patrick Mahomes is the man. Kansas City is the team. And until somebody beats him, I guess that's just the way it's going to be.
There they are. Read them and weep. Ryan Clark's top five. And again, number one plays number two this
Sorry,
Sunday
Pittsburgh.
Afternoon.
Sorry.
Outstanding. All right, as we continue, when is a hat more than just a hat? John Gruden's was a symbol of a larger problem last night, and we will explain why next.
Four teams, two semifinals, New Year's Day. The College Football Playoff lives on ESPN.